Welcome to the Dastaan Goy podcast, a collective exploration of Pakistani history and culture.
In this episode of Dastaan Goy podcast, we get to sit down with Aisha Ali, the founder of Kyle, a platform allowing economic opportunity for artisans and urban makers while interpreting international aesthetics using local crafts, skills, and materials. Let's get straight to Aisha.
Aisha, thank you so much for being with us on the Dastaan Goy podcast. I really appreciate you taking out the time. To start off, I'd love to kind of hear your story of getting Kyle to the ground, because Kyle ke andar jo retail store or jo brand aapne banaya hai, uske andar hi itni kahaniyan hain from all of the different brands that you have and the craftsmen and the craftswomen that you work with. It's such an incredible platform that you've created. And I'd love to kind of hear a little bit about you and a little bit about how Kyle came to be.
So I guess it is sort of my life journey that resulted in opening Kyle. It was not just one single event, but very briefly, I was in England for 2 years in 2004. So I was visiting my extended family and I happened to go to different concept stores over there. And especially I remember this store called East, where there was lots of clothing and, you know, all craft-based product. And for me, it was interesting to note that craft could be so well presented and designed. And, you know, it somehow clicked something in me. But everything that I picked up was made in India, was made in China, was made in Bangladesh. And, you know, Pakistan's narrative was missing over there, and it triggered something in me. Now, I also trained in small and micro enterprise development, and which is why when I came back to Pakistan, and I have to tell you that while I was there, whatever I was wearing or accessories, whoever I met, I had strangers stop me and say, "What are you wearing? Where is this from?" Whether I was sitting in a library or whether I was, you know, shopping around. You know, once I was coming through escalators and there was a couple right in front of me and they just turned and they said, "Where are you from and what are you wearing?" It was really hot and I was wearing shalwar kameez. Usually, I obviously don't, when I was a student, I usually wore in Western, but I made it a point to always wear something Pakistani because so proud of Pakistan, right? So that happened a lot to me. So things changed when I came back to Pakistan. I was in the first microfinance bank with our Khan Development Network. I launched this product, a merry-go-round saving product for, you know, the grassroots level. And I got to travel across Pakistan. And this time I saw the craft, but then I saw that the craft was not well designed. The raw materials were not, you know, good quality. It was not speaking to me. If you've traveled and you've seen what is possible, and then to see the craft being presented for maybe small local markets, but not for the urban customers. So I thought, wait, I can probably do something about this because I have a vision. But then the problem was, where is it going to be sold, right? And then after the microfinance, I worked for 7 years in United Nations, where I was in drugs and crime sector, again, away from now craft, but again, I was representing Pakistan in, you know, in a lot of forums. I was traveling around the world. I was representing Pakistan in 80 countries. And again, this time, because I was working with the government of Pakistan, so again, I was representing Pakistan by mixing it up in a more global format. I made sure I was dressed in a particular way. Most of the times, people also thought that I was in foreign services. But again, I always tried representing Pakistan in a more modern way. And I felt that I had the knack for it because everyone wanted to know about what I was wearing. And it's strange because it was happening a lot to me. And then I realized this is it. I mean, this is it. I'm going to create a concept store, a lifestyle store that is going to be just superb. And hopefully there will be a time when it will be out there. You know, someday I'll be in Paris, I'll be in London, I'll be in Toronto, I'll be in, you know, Tokyo, everywhere. So I think that was the thought behind it. And I guess rest is history. Kyle is, I mean, 6 years ago, I opened it. And I knew that I could not make everything myself. In order to create a lifestyle store, you need so many things. You need to speak the language of the new customer. So I started talking to entrepreneurs, started bringing them in. And I guess that's really it. Yeah.
So what I'd be curious to kind of understand is when you saw the level of craft that was happening in Pakistan. And I completely agree, na, ke wahan pe ek hota hai ke there's a standard quality which India has gone so far ahead with in terms of presentation and building that crafts or karigari narrative that they're able to kind of put out. And we haven't succumbed, I don't think that's the word, but we haven't gotten to that level in a lot of places where we're not very good storytellers, where we don't take the time to package things properly, to showcase the love and the beauty of these things and the history that they all have, right? So was it difficult for you to go in and get the products? And because aapki jo cheeze aap bechti hain, they're not all handicrafts, right? There, so a lot of the things that you have are contemporary new brands that are up and coming, like meme ki candles ho gaye, choti choti kitabein ho gaye jo independent authors likh rahe hain. So curating that and bringing it so that the whole market goes up in terms of the presentation, how did you approach those conversations?
Okay, so from the very start, whichever new entrepreneur I was talking to, the first thing I brought up with them was always branding. And I was very particular about how they will brand themselves. So I'm going to start with maybe some of the smaller brands, like there was Yellowberry. So when these are soap brand. So when they came in, I said, listen, you need to work on your branding before you come on Kyle floor. And they were very smart and they already were doing that work. So the thing is, the platform was missing. And most of these, for example, Meme was aware of branding way before they came to Kyle. She studied from New York. She understood how the product has to be presented. So it was for some of the brands, it was really easy to do that. But for some, we really had to sit down. We had to go through different meetings. I had to explain them what they needed to do. And there were times when they actually started packaging after meeting with me because they could not sell through our platform unless they presented the product well. But Ahmad, Pakistan has a lot of these small entrepreneurs and they were doing great work already. They just needed a little bit of direction and platform. But I feel like a lot of it was just ready. Do you get my point? The young entrepreneurs were ready.
I completely agree. And you know, the more time I spend in Pakistan and the more research I do for our other businesses, I'm starting to see these individual entrepreneurs that are making things at home that are beautifully designed. Lahore mein itne ne cheezein khul gayi hain. Like there's these vintage makers, there are candle makers, there are scent makers. There's so much beauty can there be. Bahut sari cheezein aa gayi hain. And it's just amazing to see people take that power into their own hands. Ke theek hai, hamare bahar se jo cheezein aa rahi hain, they're getting much more expensive. Why do we not become a creator economy again and bring every single thing that we were importing and start developing it within Pakistan itself with something that actually appeals to Pakistanis, right? Because you get bahar se cheeze to mangwa lete ho, but then you kind of miss out the beauty of the uniqueness of Pakistan itself, the way you tell stories, the things that people like, and you try to become too westernized rather than like having a little mix and understanding a little bit of a mix of all of the different things that are out there. So it's been incredible for me to see as well. And Kyle is just, again, like you said, it's like a beautiful place where you can go in and you can see that whole spectrum of things that are available, right? And it's been beautiful. Now, what were the stories that you grew up with? Like up Pakistan, like were you brought up and raised in Pakistan?
Yes, I was brought up and raised in Pakistan. I'm an 80s kid in 88. I do remember Zia's plane crash. Because I've been, you know, brought up in Islamabad, and after 80s, you will see that art and craft was deteriorating. I'm sure you understand that. There was just no outlet then, you know. And somehow that was also one of the reasons that I found that, you know, my expression, I could not, you know, I could not go and get a training in pottery if I wanted to. I couldn't be part of theater. I couldn't be part of film. I couldn't do anything. So to me, Kyle was that outlet, because although in Islamabad there was Kuch Khas and Alliance Francaise, but, you know, the problem was that it was very distant and it was not part of the city scene. Do you get it? That where you can get introduced to these ideas. But because I spent a lot of time in development sector and doing a lot of other things, I felt, somehow I felt there was a need for a place like this. And so most of the stories, I guess, I get to discover once I opened Kyle. I knew about block printing and how Ajrakul was being done and Sindh and all that, and I loved it. But then I had to create it from the start, because the technique that I wanted to introduce was already dead. It was not Ajrak, it was not the natural printing method, but it was a pigment printing method that was not there. It had gone from the region called Karor Pakka. But despite all this, and because I got to travel within Pakistan, I went to Hunza, Gilgit, Chitral, Haripur, Hyderabad, you know, all these areas doing incredible work. I think, I don't know how to say that, what exact stories were there that really brought it about, but mostly, I'm so sorry, I'm so bad at this, but mostly because I felt there was a gap of opportunity for people. And because I'm trained in small and micro enterprise development in poverty reduction, to me it was hurting me that there was no opportunity for the artisans and for the young entrepreneurs to do something about it. So that was basically my take on that.
So now if we go personally away from Kyle, I'd love to hear the stories that you grew up in Islamabad with. Like, what were some of the stories that your parents would tell you or your grandparents would tell you that brought in that deep connection that Aisha has? Because the way you speak about when you were traveling for the UN and for while working for the development sector, like when you're discussing it, you're keeping a token of Pakistan with you, and you're showcasing that in a way.
So I, as a child, had a different background than most kids in Pakistan, because, you know, when I was a baby, I had in my neighborhood a different kind of there were different faiths in our neighborhood, and when my mother was carrying me outside, a very friendly neighbor family, they said, listen, we want to take Aisha to our house. And I said, okay. My mother said, okay. And they took me to their house. And this is a different faith. This connection of love and mutual respect that I formed to a point that at one point I had to go and give my school admission test. For that, you know, a new dress was brought for me. And this family of a different faith, they kept awake all night to do a white sweater for me to wear under that dress, right? From the very beginning of my life, I was not just going to Eidgah for namaz, but I was also going to church. So my upbringing was actually in a way that both the two different religions played a part in my upbringing, right? That changed me as a person. And when after 80s, I see the intolerance and I guess the forced conversion, it really hurts me because I was from a setup where there was a lot of inclusiveness. And then besides that, my mother was a very young mother and she loved history. So she took us to all those, you know, both my parents basically took us to Gandhara civilization, you know, to Mughal buildings. Yes, Tekla. Then we went to Gurdwaras. We went to temples. We went to churches, you know. So all that, I guess, played a part in me because, again, that was the history that I was taking in during that time because my mother was, you know, so interested in all these things. And I guess when I get to travel around the world and knowing how rich our history and culture is and how it used to be, I guess it was painful when for example, in 2004, Imran Khan and Jemima Khan, they were getting divorced and Pakistan was so much in the news, but everything was just negative about it. So I guess the need for me to tell people about the street food or the Bhabra Bazaar or the art or people I get to meet. For example, my husband is a film director. My father-in-law is he writes for theater and directs theater. So I also ended up being in a very artsy family who brought that kind of, you know, impact that, you know, there's more to life than just corporate, or there's more to life than just. And I guess Islamabad was very devoid of anything art and culture. It's my husband who was from Karachi who ended up being here for some reason. That brought a lot of art in my life, I guess. I get to know theater, Ismat Chughtai, or, you know, a lot of things through them rather than what Islamabad had to offer. And realizing that, I guess, and then the support. Because you see, when I was growing up, art or art-related professions were looked down upon. You can understand that it was
The unfortunate truth in Pakistan, I would still argue, some to quite an extent, is still that, right? Like, abhi bhi log itna value nahi karte art ko. Or, I mean, there are now institutions. We have some amazing, like, schools with the NCA, with centers such as the PNC in Islamabad and the stuff that they're doing. But I don't think at a federal level, we support enough of the arts.
Nothing when I was young. The thing is, there was just literally nothing when I was young. I had no outlet, no nothing. And I felt that I could not leave the city of mine the way it is without introducing it to, like, art and entrepreneurs and, you know, creative product. I just felt that the platform was needed.
That's awesome. I love that because I really do think what you're doing by bringing this craft and different craftspeople to the outset and starting to bring narratives that either were too siloed or were not existent in front of majority of the people, and creating it in a way where people can, and from majority of the places like in Islamabad, or now you're going into Karachi as well, where you're able to interact with these products and see them. It really gives a different perspective around the craft scene in Pakistan, around the micro entrepreneurs in Pakistan. It's really incredible to see. Now, when you go out or you meet someone who hasn't been to Pakistan, how do you describe Pakistan to them?
I describe it as a very mysterious country, which is extremely misunderstood. I describe it to be it is actually a magical place to be in. Like, There is a story of Seful Maluk. There is a story of, you know, Sassi Pannu over here. So I feel like I keep telling people, you have to come to Pakistan to really see what this country is about. And I guess when I was working in United Nations and I had this German friend, and she went back to Germany, but for vacation, she used to come to Pakistan. She brought her daughter here. So I think whoever has been here understands that. And whenever you go out, I guess it was always, I found that whenever I was wearing something, people would suddenly come and start asking about it. And then I would say, you know, what you think or what is portrayed in the newspapers, it's not that. It is entirely a magical, beautiful country. And it has so much more to offer, which is different than rest of the subcontinent. Like there's incredible street food. Like I go to Raja Bazaar sometimes just to experience that. There's Bhabra Bazaar. There are antiques over there, you know. I guess it's just that it's the excitement of who I am, where I belong. I think people tend to feel like they want to come and see this country.
That's awesome. And I completely agree. Like I really think Pakistan is one of those places which is just very misunderstood because of the way it's been portrayed. Jaise aap branding ki baat kari na, entrepreneurs or micro entrepreneurs, because I think Pakistan needs to be rebranded.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That will really help people to understand what's actually on the ground. Like I remember I used to go to these places like Hunza, Gilgit, Islamabad ke andar hi main phir raha hota tha, and I'd like take a story on Instagram. And all of my friends outside would be like, where are you? And be like, yeah. I'm in Islamabad, man. I'm in Pakistan. I'm 5 minutes away from my house. It's Markla Hills. And it's, you know, it's like a beautiful trail. Like it's right there. You go on the roads and there's these beautiful trees and beautiful colors and so much nature. And then Lahore, jate Lahore, man, there's so much culture and so many different things in terms of art and in terms of infrastructure and in terms of architecture that you can see. So it's, it really is, you know how there's Visit Saudi and like these global campaigns that you have all over the world for like Visit Malaysia and Asia and all these other places. I really think Pakistan mein jo na ye bahut hi necessary hai. Jahan pe logon ki jo perception hai ki Pakistan mein kya ho raha hai aur Pakistan kya hai ek mulk ke lihaz se needs to change.
Amal, I also think that diaspora has a role to play now at this point because earlier, just like two, three years ago, I felt like I was not been. I mean, I was okay speaking to Pakistani market, but I could not get the diaspora interest. And around that time, I was expanding, and I got on board one of my creative directors who's a third culture kid, and to me, the strategy was clear. In order to reach out to the world, in order to make an impact, in order to market and show the softer side of Pakistan, we need to maybe reach out to diaspora, and which is why it is very interesting when you email, because you are part of that community, and to be able to get your interest in wanting to understand Kyle. I think that was part of what I wanted to do. Because I feel like, I'm so sorry, I'm getting so many messages. I feel like diaspora has a role to play right now to bring the softer image of Pakistan to the world. In order to connect with them, I felt that Kyle had to do something. And which is why it is interesting that you found the product interesting over there, because we've been curating, especially keeping in mind to be able to present or to be able to, you know, for example, I want the consumer who's well-traveled as well as diaspora to connect with it. And it is something very interesting for me to see that happening. Thank you.
Incredible. Aisha, I have one last question for you, which is, what are some unexpected learnings that you fell upon by having started something like Kyle, and you know, now you're spending more time and now you're expanding Kyle as well. What are some unexpected learnings that came out of this for you related to Pakistan?
Related to Pakistan, that first of all, initially I had a lot of difficulty finding the right kind of product. But suddenly, due to social media, everything exploded. Just like you mentioned a little time ago, that skincare, like, it's exploded. Do you get my point? The only problem right now that I'm facing is that not all of it is authentic. A lot of it is just getting ideas from the internet and producing it. But as I said, one surprise was that the entrepreneurs were ready for such platform. Because initially I was just trying to find people and I could not. Most of the product I was producing myself. But the second was that social media brought that explosion, you know. But the third problem right now is not everything is authentic. You have to curate an authentic product that actually is part of Pakistan and its history. Right now, for example, a lot of people are importing things, mixing it up and making things, but there's no one working on, for example, tulsi that grows here, or, you know, pink salt that is part of Pakistan, like products to be created from that. So I continuously feel that although there is an explosion, there's a lack of authenticity. And although we are in a phase where we are learning about ourselves, but we still need to dig deeper where we come from and to utilize our, you know, we have our own authentic skincare, like Multani Mitti. We can utilize our pink salt. We can utilize essential oils based in, you know, tulsi around here. There's kuhu. Kuhu means olive, wild olive. That's over here. Then there is lavender that is in Ziyarat. Like, there needs to be cohesive effort to bring these on board. So I initially did not know a lot of things that existed and can be utilized, but I feel like I have so many ideas and they need to be explored now. And Pakistan has, I knew it had a lot to offer, but I feel like it has a lot more to offer now. And because I'm getting to discover what exactly is, like, hemp. Hemp is part of Pakistan. It was also part of our food chain. There's cannabis seeds in Hunza that you can get to eat, and it is exploding internationally. So yeah. I think all these things need to have to, you know, there needs to be a cohesive effort to bring that all over the world. So yeah, there's something that every day there is a new discovery about my own country, that it has a lot to offer.
You know, while you were saying that, the thought that kept coming into my mind was, जब आप सोचते हैं कि पूरी दुनिया में अब आप देखो, you know, हल्दी का दूध is now being sold at a premium of $40, $30, and it's this golden milk thing. And हम लोग तो हर रात के जो है ना अम्मी अबू मेरे लगा के पी रहे होते हैं, like, and I'd be like, no, but then if it's like हल्दी and if it's like golden milk, I'll drink it. So there needs to be an unlearning for us, I feel, where we need to get out of that mindset where only the Western things are the good, quote unquote, things, and we need to relearn of what we have. And I think to an extent that also comes down to branding, because we haven't been very good storytellers, which comes back to the point Japne Abhi Bola, where I'm now discovering all of this, because now you're taking personal interest and you're going out and you're discovering this. But the people that have done this in the past have either made them into desi totkas, which you just shrug off, the newer population, the newer generation. At least my abbu, jab bhi mujhe kuch bolte hai, is tel ko mila lo, but then the same thing comes from the West. It's branded very nicely. It's called oil of whatever, and then I'll take it. So it's that miscommunication for the generation that we live in, I think, which is the problem, and an unlearning of the way we sometimes tend to look at Pakistan, which again happens to be the brand that Pakistan has built and the inefficiency, but almost this way of thinking that we're inferior to the Western world and to what the West has to offer, whereas they have been taking with East India Company to today all of the things from the South anyways. And now, again, that same structure is happening again, right? Like, when you look at ashwagandha, you look at tulsi, you look at all of these Ayurveda in general, if you look at the terms and how Ayurveda is growing, it's growing exponentially around the world. And it comes from our part of the world.
In Pakistan, it is basically Hikmat. Ayurveda is more Indian. Because Hakim said, Hamdard, Dawakhana, this is part of our history. But again, no one valued it enough that it is not in our country the way it should have been. I go to Dawakhana here in Islamabad also, and I want to discover more, like, what exactly is the basis and, you know, how do you make these things? But, you know, I can do just as much. I need younger upcoming entrepreneurs to, you know, take charge of this. There's so much to do, and Hikmat, for example, no one is really working on it, and I really want to go down and do something about it, but I can do as much. That is my issue. But that is what I'm saying, the authenticity to what we are and what we should be representing, you know, and to call it our Veda, so that also comes from Hikmat. And, you know, there were times, and again, if you ask me, when I was quite young, I've seen Hakim using a thread, because a woman was dressed in a burqa, be able to diagnose the pulse. I don't know how he could do that, but that was the level of Hikmat. And to diagnose something properly and to treat something, That's kind of amazing, and that was part of our history, which is gone almost. Nothing is really left.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Instagram and YouTube for more stories. You can get in touch with us via email contact.dastangoy@gmail.com. Until next time, thank you, shukriya, meherbani, khudafiz.